and hopefully our conversation will live up to the hype.
Hey everyone, hey world. You are tuning in to another amazing week of Freedom of Truth.
Yay!
I'm so excited because the guest that I have on my show today is an amazing woman and has accomplished so many things in such a short time, I feel, because even though I'm 46, as you guys all know, there's a lot of things that I still haven't accomplished and I'm looking forward to. So anyone I have on my show, they inspired me some way. And this is a woman who has definitely inspired me when we have a mutual girlfriend. And you know, I was telling her, I'm looking for a woman, you know, someone that can inspire my audience. And she said, hey, I know someone. She's so down to earth. She's done so much things. I think you'll be really interested in her. And I said, what's her name? And she said, Deborah Williams. And I said, well, what has she done? And she told me that, for one, she is the president and CEO of Game. Have her game too.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. You can edit that out. She is this president and CEO of her game too, which she's going to tell you guys a lot about.
Yes.
She's an apparel designer. She's a fashion producer and a mother of two. And what really struck me the most was the clinical psychologist. I mean, all of those things is amazing, but can you believe just one person is capable of doing all of that, though? You know what I mean? So, and with two children, and everybody knows as we're listening, but being a mother alone is a job in itself. Even if the kids aren't home, I mean, they're still our babies. They're still in our minds. They're still in our hearts. So it's still ongoing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So we never get off our job. Like, we're always at work. They don't realize it, but we always, you know, we're always at work.
Yes.
So just to know that Deborah has accomplished so much, I just wanted her on the show so that way she can just be an amazing gift to you guys and hear about the things that she has accomplished and hear about her challenges and so on and so forth. So
thank you.
Thank you for
being
here.
I really appreciate you inviting me on today.
Thank you. I'm always honored. Everybody, you know, I feel like you guys, whoever I have on the show, I just feel like, you know, life comes with so much responsibility, so much time, and, you know, for you to take the time to out your day to be on Freedom of Truth, I'm just grateful. So thank you, Deborah, so much.
I appreciate you inviting me here.
Oh, thank you.
And
we're just going to kick it like girlfriends, guys, like we do. I don't know why I'm always still nervous because, I don't know, I guess that's a natural human instinct, like, right? That
it
we
is.
Just have that just nervous.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. I think that's what it is. I'm excited. And this is just something that's so different. I feel like the show is just elevating and it always has a different feel to it. And just so you know, guys, we're at a boutique in Greenwich, Connecticut called
Claudette.
Yes. And it's really pretty. And you guys, when you go on the site, you're going to be able to see she has some amazing pieces. And she's a good girlfriend
Beautiful.
Of yours,
yes,
right?
Yes, she is.
And because Deborah is into fashion, we thought that this would be a great place to film. And yeah, get it on. So without further ado, I'm sorry, because I like to talk and stuff. But without further ado, we're going to introduce Deborah Williams.
Thank you.
So Deborah, how you feeling today?
I'm actually feeling pretty good.
I can't complain.
It's rainy and soggy, but all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. We're here, and we're ready to inspire, right?
Yes, I'm ready.
With our own little testimonies, right?
We are.
That's amazing, like how we can really, how powerful our life stories can be.
Definitely. And everybody has
a
story. Everybody has a testimony. So appreciate you wanting me to speak to that today.
Yeah. And I'm happy that you're open, because a lot of people, I always talk about, wear a lot of masks these days of what they've been through. And, you know, they rather make it, you know, just smile, even though we smile through our pain, but we still, you know, I like to share, because I feel like sharing is caring. I always say that. So I'm trying to figure out, where should we start? I guess, which one did you go for first? Like, did her game to come first, or?
I went to Tougaloo College, and I left Tougaloo College and went to University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia. I got a master's and a doctor's degree in clinical psychology from University of Georgia. So that came first. I actually only met my future husband about my third year in graduate school. So I was almost done. I finished my doctor's degree. I took a job at the university for 1 year. And after that, we decided to move our family forward and get married, and I left the university and moved to Indiana, because at that particular time he was playing with the NBA, playing with the Indiana Pacers, and that's where we moved. So I did practice as a clinical psychologist for 2 years. I worked at the hospital there, at Methodist Hospital. The day that I was supposed to sign my contract to go into private practice was the day that he got traded to the Dallas Mavericks. So I didn't go into private practice. I, you know, took some time, transferred all my patients over, and then moved our family down to Texas.
So the clinical
psychology came first. And I did that again. I went back through the licensing process again when I went to Texas. I got the license in Texas, and I practiced there for a year, only to be traded up to New York. So you never know what life has. I mean, you know, I don't think that there's skills that I lost, but I really just got to a point where, okay, so we're not going to do this licensing thing in every state in the United States.
Right.
Because at that point, I didn't know at what point this was going to stop. So I really put all of that on the back burner and just focused on the family. At that time, I started an organization called Behind the Bench, which was the NBA Wives Association. So I ran that for 6 years. And really during that process of working with the NBA Wives Association, interfacing with the NBA, learning, developing relationships with them, is really where Her Game 2 was born. Because at that point, there was no WNBA. There was no real women's presence in sports as there is today.
Wow.
Although they were actually there, they just weren't recognized. They weren't validated as being a part of sports. So I was privy to some of the research that they were doing at that time. So they were looking at, okay, are women really a part of the game, of the NBA? And what they started to realize was that 50% of everybody that watched and participated and in the stands were females. And they just had never been acknowledged as such.
Wow.
So Her Game 2 is just that. Like, it was his game, but it's also her game too. Exactly.
I like that.
So I started out with that. I went to Dave Checkitz, who was the president of the Garden at the time. Okay, if 50% of everybody here is female, we don't have a representation of that in terms of the apparel. So he gave me an opportunity. He gave me a local license. I did some apparel for Madison Square Garden, for the Rangers, and then it just went on from there.
Wow. That's boss. Like, that's so boss, though. See, this is inspiring. You could have sat there and been a wife of a basketball player. Was your ex-husband at the time a basketball player or coach?
A player.
So she could have been a wife of a basketball player that just sat in the benches every game. But you saw something there, and after leaving your practice and that's huge. But those are the sacrifices mothers make, mothers and wives make all the time
to keep their families
intact. That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was just amazing in itself. But then to actually take something and realize that, you know, there's something missing.
There's a niche that needs to be filled.
And did that. Her Game 2. That's dope.
Her Game 2.
That's dope. So, and succeeded.
Yeah, 20 years later, we're still here. We've been reinvented in a number of different ways. We started there with that local license. I got the license to do the whole league. So we were doing, I actually own the categories for the NBA of women's casual tops, bottoms, bags, accessories, luggage, and kitchen appliances. So I did that for 11 years.
Wow.
It rolled into our own brand, Her Game 2, which we did. We sold to Macy's Department Store for 2 years, which was an adventure in it in and it of is. Itself, trying to be a little fish in a big pond. It's challenging. But we got there, and honestly, not very many people can even say that they've even done that. So we've done a lot. We developed Her Game 2 into also Her Game 2 Productions. And so now we produce a lot of the large fashion show productions in the tri-state. So we produce Harlem Week, Summer Stage, Circle of Sisters, and a number of other shows that are in the area. And we also represent some talent, some models and some actors, and kind of helping them find platforms and find opportunities in the business. So our brand is diversified a little bit. You have to do what you have to do. I don't think that we're in a world right now where you can do one thing and settle on that one thing. I think you have to have a diverse set of things that you are doing. You have to have a diverse set of revenue streams because when one dries up, if you don't have anything else, then that's it. You're out of business. So you got to have, okay, so I'm going to fall back on this until I get this back up and running. And business is hard. It's always hard. So you got to have various streams of income to make sure that when one thing is weak, the other thing can be strong. When that becomes weak, because eventually it will, then you got this over here that now is strong. Man. So you have to work it that way.
And it's funny that you say that. How we looking, Zay? I'm about to say, I know that's about 10 minutes. Okay. Okay, no, so I'm a whole lot. Yeah. I'm starting to get the hang of it. I'm getting it. See, I'm in the beginning. Next thing, I'm going to be done. I'm going to have my cars. I'm going to be like this. I'm going to have it up top. So I'm happy that everybody's so down to earth and like they, you know, they're not judging like, girl, I got my stuff together. What's going on? She doing the show? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, I'm just like, and I'm so open with it. I'm not trying to front like, yeah, girl, let me, I know I forgot my little Freedom of Truth mugs, but it's all good though, right?
Yeah, drink a little sip of coffee.
Right. Mm-hmm. I always say tea. You drink tea or coffee? Both. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, no, I was going to really say, because when someone I had on here was talking about, like shifting and doing different things and whatever work. Oh, it's back on?
No, let's get that on camera.
Okay, I was going to say that. Okay. But I want you to get a cut.
Five, four, three, two, one.
So it's very interesting what you just now said about having different streams of revenues and how important it is to have something to fall back on. Because I had another entrepreneur that was on the show where they were saying that, she was just getting in the game. She's actually just getting into the apparel game. And her movement is going to be called God Made You. But she was saying that, well, she first had an app and then it wasn't really working, beautifully made app, and then she was going on to God Made You. But the whole shifting thing, she was kind of at first a little confused about because she wasn't sure. But this was just confirmation, what you just now said, is from someone that's a vet, that's really actually done this, that no, you can have different entities of, and different, you know, where different money streams is coming in, because one will dry up, and it's true.
Eventually, yes.
Eventually,
because things change, the climate changes. I mean, right now, when I started Her Game too, they were looking at me as if I had three heads at the retailers talking about women are a big part of sports. And now look, I mean, now it's all about women. It's all about empowerment of women. It's all about boldness and fearlessness. So now it's the thing to be. So back, you know, when I started then, I was somewhat ahead of my time. Now is the perfect time. So you just never know how these things are going to move and shift. So you just have to have various things that you can draw from to keep you moving forward during those lean times, because you definitely will have them. There's no question about that.
And when you say now is the time, do you feel like maybe that's something that you could try again?
I definitely am. Well, put it this way. I want to do it differently. I've done this apparel business in a lot of different ways, a lot of different configurations. Where I am in my life now, I've licensed. I mean, in other words, I've paid people to have their license. When I was an NBA licensee, I was paying them to be able to put teams and names and players on my garments. Well, now I'm on the other side. I've been out here. I've established the brand. People know the brand. I can document that. And now my meetings are with people who would be manufacturers who will license my brand and pay me royalties in order to utilize the brand that I've put together with my help and my assistance and my marketing support. So, and I think that the time is right to make that move. So a lot of the meetings that I'm having right now are about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be amazing because, I mean, just the backstory to her game, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even know that. Yeah. I was wondering what was the backstory. Mm-hmm. So just to know that, I mean, like you said, you were ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time, yeah.
But you know what I love about being ahead of your time is that you didn't fold just because you knew. Because you knew you saw something that nobody else did.
They weren't ready. Yeah, exactly.
But you kept it moving. Yep. And now, look, you never know now. Look, now people, they can respect whatever comes out your mouth because you was doing this way before they was even thinking about doing it.
Right.
So that's just like big up, guys. This is big up. This is a boss right here. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's my whole thing. Like, even with Freedom of Truth, this was something that I've been wanting to do for so long. Mm-hmm. And I remember my ex even saying Freedom of Truth. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he was all in the grammar part of it. And I said, no, but it is what it is. It's the freedom to telling the truth.
To sit in your own truth. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. But at first, you know, because he had such a big influence on me for so long, I felt kind of like small when he said it because of my whole education, you know, my background and not really 100% knowing. But I said, you know what, at the end of the day, that gut feeling is what I'm going to go with. You may not get it, but I do.
Right.
And I just kept it going. And now I'm seeing everybody. Exactly. Like, so I could relate so much to what
everybody
you just
doesn't
said.
Everybody doesn't see your vision, unfortunately. And unfortunately, even those people that are closest to you who you think would see your vision don't always see your vision. So that's why it's so important to do just what you did, to be steadfast in your belief and focused and staying focused on the vision that you have, rolling your sleeves up, putting the work in, and then eventually people will start to see it. Yeah. But you can't get discouraged when people don't see it, because for those people that are the most visionary, people don't see it. You're able to see things that maybe other people aren't able to see. And you have to trust your gut in terms of that and keep moving forward when everybody else is wondering, you know, are you crazy? What are you doing? What are you thinking about? Why are you doing that? Well, I have a vision for this and I see it. Now, that doesn't mean that vision can't shift and that can't change. And it will. And that's fine, too. Mm-hmm. It should. Because if the circumstances change and the environment changes, you have to change with that. Otherwise, you're going to die on the vine. So you got to move and you got to shake. You got to zig and you got to zag. And you got to do all those fancy foot. You know that song?
Footwork. You got me. Yeah. You got me like, what? Like, because that's how you
sometimes
feel.
Sometimes you got to have some footwork going
I'm
on
I'm telling
here.
You.
And move and duck and dive and everything that you have to do to get where you're trying to go.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's fine.
That's fine. And that's fine. Feels good. I love, I'm telling you, and that's one thing, because I've always been challenged with my visions of just wanting to do something different. And that's how it feels. It feels like you got to duck and dodge and you got to get pushed down and back up. And I always say in the show, I say, you know, success is not a elevator. It's a staircase. We're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to get tired of walking it. But at the end of the day, we know what's at the end of that.
That's right.
Or at the top of them steps.
And I'll see you at the top.
And I'll see you at the top. Exactly. So this is what you're doing right now. And so it's safe to say that I'm really grateful that I'm getting ready. I'm in the middle of your journey, too, because even though you've accomplished all these different things, now this is the second part of your chapter in your journey. So who knows where you're getting ready to go. So I'm happy that I got this.
It never ends. It just never.
It never does.
It never ends. You just have to keep pushing and you kind of keep reinventing and keep adjusting. One of my really, really good mentors way back then, she said that being successful is like making soup, that you have to keep putting a little bit of peas in there and a little bit of carrots in there, and then you stir it and you taste it, and still kind of tastes like water. It's not really soup. So maybe you got to put something else in there. You got to put maybe a little salt in there, a little bit more pepper in there, and taste it again. It's not still quite right. And you just keep adding things and taking out. Maybe I got too many carrots in here now. I want to take a little bit of that carrot out. I'm going to try to put a little corn in there instead of that. Mm. And you stir it again and you taste it again. And you keep doing that. It's a whole process of putting things in, taking things out, and tasting to you get to a point where you have
good. Yeah, exactly.
And you've got a soup, and you've got a pot of soup, and you've got a big enough pot of soup that everybody can sit around that table and have a bowl. Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling me that story way back then. And even now, when I face times that are a little bit difficult, I'm reminded that, you know what, I'm not going to throw out the soup. The soup's probably okay. I just need to maybe adjust a little bit. I need to take something out that's in, that's not working out quite right. I need to put something else in that may make it work a little better. And I need to stir it up.
Taste it again. Change the taste.
Exactly.
Like when you're trying to feed your children. Exactly. When they're like, I'm tired of that same old soup. Be like, I'm going to throw me some turkey in right now.
Exactly.
You don't know, instead of using that chicken all the time.
Like, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Maybe you just need a little bit of something.
A little bit of something.
But just don't give it up. Don't throw it out. It's not. There's nothing wrong with the soup. The soup just needs to be adjusted a little bit.
I like that.
It keeps you from giving up when times are hard and just turning your back on it because it's just no good. No, it's not that it's no good. It just needs a little bit of going.
Yep, yeah. And I love that. That's real. Mm-hmm. That's real. Y'all heard that? That's coming. That's I'm looking for, what is that, a great analogy? Right? Is that? Because I'm always...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to make sure, because you know I told you I throw some words
out.
Yeah, I just throw words out. Yeah, that's one of the greatest analogies that I've heard, because everyone's always using their different analogies, but that's a good one, something that I could take with me for a long time.
Exactly.
Because you can always reinvent soup.
You can always reinvent it. Don't give it up. Just change it a little bit. It's time to make a change, that's all.
And I feel like I could even... add that with life, like life is just always constantly changing. And I mean, even with you, I mean, I don't know how your circle looks, but I find it hard, you know, because I'm always changing constantly. And unfortunately sometimes it's kind of moving people in and out. Some you kind of stay,
move them all the way and just let them stay.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. Do you find that happening in your
absolutely
life?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I actually don't spend time. It's interesting because I know a lot of people, and a lot of people know me, yet they don't, because I like to keep it that way. I have a very small circle when it really comes down to it. Despite the fact that a lot of people know who I am and what I do, and I interact with people, and I got hundreds of people at the shows and all of that, 5-6 times a summer. I think we did 8 shows last summer. And all of the people associated with all those shows. And yet, very few people really know about me.
About you.
And I like it like that. I like to keep my personal business private. I like being by myself. I enjoy it. I enjoy the freedom that comes with that. I enjoy the freedom of doing what I want. I mean, I was married for 21 years, so I'm not pressed in terms of a relationship. I'm good. I mean, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I don't feel that I got cheated. I had 21 years, and I think I can live with that. So it's all good. Kids are out. Kids are successful.
How old are your kids?
Yeah. My kids are 26 and 31, and they're doing fantastic.
Wow.
I'm happy with, you know, how the adults that they've
become
and the successes that they found, and
that's your sacrifices. It didn't go in vain.
Exactly.
And
so,
you're good.
Exactly. So those people that I have come across, or I had friendships with, where I've come to a conclusion that they really were not good friends, or they really didn't have my best interest at heart, I've cut those people out. And I don't feel any regret about that. I don't feel any loss. I'll still speak. May even come to your birthday party, but we won't be friends, and that's fine with me.
So that's what you just touched on for me is definitely really deep. And just for all you entrepreneurs, or just women and men that's growing and starting to see people that you really thought was in the long haul with you kind of just kind of dropping off, it's normal. It comes with the territory. I've been through it. A lot of people, the people that I least expect was the ones that just, I guess it wasn't, you know, it was the season was up. You know, it wasn't, the new season is starting, and I think it just wasn't, like you said, I'll go to the birthday parties or, you know,
maybe.
I don't stop. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just like, yeah. Because I used to felt like maybe I was trying to, I was acting different. And mm-hmm. then, you know, most of the people would try to make me feel like I was acting mm-hmm. different when I'm like, no, it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. I know for me in this life, I want to grow. I want to change. Mm-hmm. I want to do different things. Mm-hmm. Some of the friends I have, though, we're still on that same path with all the different layers mm-hmm. that's dropping and mm-hmm. the growth. So that's why I asked you because, mm-hmm. And then the part when you said about people don't really know you,
mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with me. Mm-hmm. It's like I know so many people,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really know who mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. I do try to stay by, well, I wanted to stay behind the cameras, but mm-hmm. I feel like I guess I have a calling,
mm-hmm.
a different calling on my mm-hmm. life. But I feel like just being in the industry, because mm-hmm. it's just all the same, the mm-hmm. basketball industry,
mm-hmm.
it's like...
But you have to cocoon yourself.
Yes.
And I think that it is a function of what you're saying. It's being in that high-profile situation,
mm-hmm.
you do form a cocoon.
Yep.
And you, unfortunately, you have to form a cocoon because a lot of people that are coming at you definitely don't have your best interest at heart. So you have to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to protect your family, your children, your marriage. And so it forces you almost
yes.
to cut out and isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, you don't know who is who. It's hard to tell. Like, I have had friends for long-term friends, and then all of a sudden they started disappearing. They're not answering the phone. They're not calling. And I even had one friend that said to me, well, I just think that you have gotten too good for me. What is that supposed to mean? The I don't feel that I changed. I mean, I'm chasing you, and you're telling me that I've gotten too good for you. Well, I don't think that I've gotten too good for you. I think that you have not grown, and you know, you're resenting the fact that I'm moving along. That's really not how friends work. And yep. so that just told me that you really weren't a good friend to me,
mm-hmm.
that you were envious and you were jealous, and you can't mm-hmm. be friends with the person that I saw yesterday. Oprah posted, you can't be friends with people that want your life. You can't. And I 100% agree with that. When somebody wants your life, you can't be friends with them. I have seen wives, NBA wives, and bringing their best friends into our circle only to end up the next wife
Are you serious?
Of that player. So she never had wow. her best interest in heart at heart. She, you know, they basically were in it to gain your life. And wow. I've seen it over the years of 20 something years of being in, you know, the basketball world. I've seen many situations where those so-called best friends ended up the next wife. How does a best friend end up the next wife? Because she wanted your life to begin
yeah.
with. And she was just in studying
wow.
you and studying your moves and your style and waiting for opportunity. So those type things force you to create a barrier
cocoon,
around
like
yourself and in the outside world. And mm-hmm. then once you're not married anymore, it doesn't really go away. I mean, you get a little comfortable with that. Because it feels safe and
mm-hmm.
it feels secure. And I've seen it, you know, so many women in, you know, multi-million dollar mansions just sitting in there because it feels comfortable and it feels secure and it feels safe because a lot of the friends, and not just friends, family too, just really don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand. I think people equate money with happiness. And they feel that if you have a nice house and a nice car, that equals happiness because they feel that if they had that, they would be happy. But the real world, it doesn't work like that. The loneliest person is a person that's sitting in a room full of 80,000 people lonely.
Mm.
And so money doesn't make happiness.
Mm.
People do believe that it does. So because they feel that money makes you happy, when you got everything. What do you mean, Tashara? You got everything. Why are you complaining about anything?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm complaining because I'm unhappy. It gets discounted.
Yep.
And it gets discounted because how are you unhappy when you have everything? In their everything. I'm like, joy on friends when you have everything.
I'm telling you.
And you have everything.
I mean, girl, you're preaching right now.
Yeah, and so they feel that you shouldn't complain, that you should be happy, but you're not happy. And you almost get to a point that who are you even going to express that to? Because even family feels the same way. You might even tell your mom, you might tell your aunts, you might tell your cousins, and they're like, girl, please. Well, sometimes you just need somebody to really just stop and say, I understand what you're saying. I'm right here.
I'm telling you.
But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to find that group that relates, that understands enough to validate what you're saying when you're mm-hmm. unhappy. And so since you don't have much of that, a lot of times you just sit, you stay home.
Yep.
You know, and it's quiet and it's lonely because where is he? He's everywhere. He's singing, he's rapping, he's yep. bouncing, whatever he's doing.
Yep.
he's corporate jetting, whatever he's doing. He's corporate American, all kinds of things that he's doing, but he's not here.
Yeah.
So you do cocoon off a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, you may, if you're fortunate to have a handful of friends that you can really count on, who really understand and hear what you say when you've gone through a life, a high profile life, if you can come up with a handful, you can consider yourself a blessed person.
I'm telling
because
you.
That list is a short list.
Very.
It's a short list.
Very. And I could contest to that, mm-hmm. like, for sure. And for someone that, you know, it was my first time, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, I know some women that, you know, they're couple of times married, high mm-hmm. profile men, so mm-hmm. they kind of used to it. But for my first time around, mm-hmm. I could not, you know what, and it made me who I am today for sure, because mm-hmm. now I know, and I know you could probably relate to this, what I've learned in this process is that people don't stand for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I've really learned that. I'm like, wow. And I've learned that in that whole process, when I was going through the divorce, when I was, you know, the financial situation, my ex, just everything, and the people, some of the people, the things that they would say, friends, mm-hmm. family, that I thought, I was just like, where were your heads at the mm-hmm. whole time? All you were worried about are watching what I have mm-hmm. instead of my happiness
mm-hmm.
and my soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, and I stepped out on faith
mm-hmm.
and I stood up for something mm-hmm. and I wasn't going to be right now today. I think I would, no doubt, I would still be sitting there,
mm-hmm.
holy cow, and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I would have definitely still been with him married mm-hmm. and. If I would have been afraid to step mm-hmm. out and don't, because this was freedom,
mm-hmm.
losing everything,
mm-hmm.
because I really didn't lose anything, because mm-hmm. I still had my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we're on the same page.
You lost some things, but you gained more.
Yes.
You gained to Shara.
I gained to Shara. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Deborah, I found to Shara, girl.
Yeah.
Lord, I found who I am. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. And that's something that we can't even,
mm-hmm.
I mean, some people, like right now, and I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. like it's just like, you still mm-hmm. sitting there, still, mm-hmm. just because of the money and this and that? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, finding yourself is everything.
It's everything. Because you
everything.
Definitely can find yourself lost if you don't. You can find yourself living in a shadow and lost.
And lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I could definitely say that I was lost.
Mm-hmm.
I was lost. I had no identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy like mm-hmm. that I stuck out. I mean, well, mm-hmm. I jumped into that unknown place.
Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes a struggle, I think, too. Because, you know, the lifestyle is not the same. It's a different kind of struggle, but it's your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still worth it.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's my struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not struggling for two people mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. trying to find out what he needs to find. And then,
right.
yeah, I'm really on this
focusing
path.
Focusing on Tashira.
And finding me.
That's right.
And that's what you've been doing.
That's right.
Though, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your clinical psychologist,
mm-hmm.
Being that, do you find that it helped you in certain struggles that were really dark sometimes, like, you know, that are just transitioning into your own, you know, thing? Or you already created that?
I don't know if it helps that much, because I think that if you, that there's practice and then there's preach, right? So I think that being in position and objective and helping someone else to migrate through their issues and life issues, that's one thing. Sorting through your own struggles and your own issue is a whole completely separate thing. So it helps to some extent, but I think it still is a journey. Mm-hmm. And whether you, sometimes I think psychologists sometimes have the hardest journeys because of what they know. But I don't really feel that it really per se helped.
Okay.
I feel that it helps more in terms of my business and my understanding of people and relationships and behavior and that type thing. But I think when it comes to your own personal fight and struggle, you just have to muddle through it just like everybody else.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But you know what, though? That's dope, though, because... Mm-hmm. But it did help. In a huge way, like you said,
correct.
People, mm-hmm. you know, knowing, I forgot what you just, it was with the language you just used, but just basically knowing someone and their mm-hmm. character mm-hmm. and their...
Yeah,
their
relationships their, and yeah, behaviors. Just,
yeah, behaviors, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. what I was looking for, mm-hmm. behaviors. That mm-hmm. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have girlfriends that graduated from Harvard, I mean, mm-hmm. these smart women...
Mm-hmm.
But behaviors, mm-hmm. they just don't get like,
that. Mm-hmm. They keep doing the same things over and over. Yeah,
yeah, like of people come in their lives mm-hmm. and they don't see it. Like, mm-hmm. but because of everything that I've been through and dealing with different characters and behaviors, mm-hmm. I know, like, no, don't trust that person
mm-hmm.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the only thing we didn't touch on is, you know, what would you tell those entrepreneurs that's listening in? And aspiring to start a business, mm-hmm. What would you tell them? Like, mm-hmm. what are their challenges or what they shouldn't do? Or...
Mm-hmm. I have a few things that I would tell them. First, I would tell them that nobody believes in you like you believe in you. That sometimes people don't see your vision. Stay with that. Stay focused on it. Don't let that get you off track. If you have to shift your vision, you shift it because you see the change in the vision, not because everyone else failed to believe in your vision. They just don't always see it. And you have to really, to your core, 100% believe that you have the ability to get that thing done. I would tell them that if you're going to start a business, the business needs to make money. I always say business is business and Christmas is Christmas. So if you mix those two things up, you'll just be running around. You'll have a hobby, but you won't really be making any money. So business is business. Christmas is Christmas. And I would also make sure that they do their homework. I think it's important that you know everything else that's out there. I've seen people try to start businesses, even in the NBA basketball space. Wanting to set up a team, a developmental team and in a city, and not even done enough homework to realize they already have a team in that city. You have to do your homework first. You're just going to be, you know, going in circles and wasting money if you don't bother to do your homework and figure out where your niche is before you jump in and start call yourself doing a business. I would say try to raise the money that you need. It's hard, but nickel and diming it is hard. It's tough, and you just can't get far enough fast enough, because in order to be successful, you really have to take all six of the major balls that you need to put in the air and put them in the air all at the same time. It's impossible to do that when you're grossly underfunded to do it. It's just impossible. So it's better to take your time, get your business plan together, and go after the money that you need. It's out there, but it's not going to just drop in your lap. You have to work for it. You have to do crowdfunding. You have to go to the SBA. You have to go to the banks. You have to go to friends, family, and fools, as they say. and do whatever you have to do to get the money that you need. Get somebody to do a projection of what you really need to really make this business happen. And you got to go after that money. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many businesses fail because it's just underfunded. And I would say more fail than not, because you just don't have, you know what needs to be done, but you don't have the money to get that done. Mm. So I would say focus on that get the money that you need to do the business that you're trying to do. And then do the business that you're trying to do.
Then do it.
What
just
else?
Just don't jump out there with nothing.
Right.
Basically,
it's hard.
If you don't have
it. People do it every day. I've probably done it too. We all do it. But it's hard.
But it's hard.
It's hard. Because you may get one ball in the air and the other five balls are on the ground. You need all the balls in the air. Mm-hmm. How do you get all the balls in the air when you can't afford marketing and staff and product development? You just got to have all of those. And sales. You got to have all those balls in the air. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the money that you need in order to do that. And it's worth it to just go after the money that you need and then tackle it.
And then say if they do have all their five balls, you know, in place, but they don't, you know, what are the challenges, you know, that they have to, you feel like they have to look for once they have, you know, all those major
balls in the air? Well, it's going to be a lot easier if you got all of those balls in the air. But business comes with challenge. And it doesn't matter how big the businesses are, the small they are. You see these big, you know, Lehman Brothers and the big Fortune 100 companies going out of business just like the little small mom and pops. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. It's just problems on a small scale versus the same magnified problems on a large scale. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you got to make money. And if Lehman Brothers is making $2 billion, but they're spending $3 billion, they're still not making money. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it is what it is. So you have to stay focused on that bottom line and making sure that at the end of the day, you're keeping your mind focused on your margins and making sure you're hitting your margins and that your company's making money. Mm-hmm. What else would I say? I think once you have all of the major balls in the air, that's 80% of it. Because that means you found great, competent staff. That means you understand sales and you've put a dynamic sales force that's going to continue to grow in your business. You've got a great management team so that they're strategizing. How are you going to scale this? Okay, I know I can make five of these little widgets, but how do I make 500,000 of these widgets? You got to understand how you position your business in order to scale it so that you can do large numbers. So you got your great management team that's doing strategy, that's helping you to figure those things out. You got marketing, you got to be in that social media space. You got your marketing team that's helping you to position on all of the major platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of those major social media programs. They're positioning you in there. They're branding you in there. All of those things are going. So once you have a lot of that on, you know, they're working on whatever else you're doing other than social media, your advertising campaign, your community partnerships that you're going to be creating so that your brand is aligned with the proper community service project and that makes sense, that what your, you know, the partnerships that you create make sense for your brand and where you're going with your brand. So you've got a lot of things in play. You got your finance people there no to Shara, we can't spend money on that, we got to cut that back. Oh yeah, we can put a little bit more on there because that's where the growth areas are. So once you got all of those balls in the air, you're doing pretty well.
You just gotta
hold on to them. Yeah, you gotta keep going on. But you know, when you don't have them, is when you got problems.
It's
still, it's challenging. Business is challenging, no matter what size. But you have to stay to your vision. You have to stay true to the brand that you created. You have to stay true to the customers that you've developed, and also committed to developing and bringing in new customers to whatever it is that you're doing. And I think once you have all of those things in play, you're gonna be successful.
Mm-hmm. Successful. Yeah. And like you said, it's worth going through that process and that journey, because if you wind up with your end goal, then it's worth every cent and penny. And life is worth taking chances. Do you agree? I mean,
absolutely.
It definitely is.
It's absolutely worth taking chances. Now, I think we talked about earlier off camera that it's not prudent for everybody to just jump into the pool without clothes. It's not prudent. I mean, everybody can't do that. There are practicalities. You have jobs. You have children that are in school. You have tuitions to pay. So, and that's okay. Just do it a little bit at a time. Don't jump fully in the pool. Just stick a toe in the pool and test it out and grow into two toes and then 1 foot and then 2 feet until it makes sense for you to jump completely in the pool.
Jumping.
So you have to, there's some reality that comes into that, but you can, you know,
sort of way to...
To navigate that in such a way that you can still follow your dream and pursue your dream and pay your rent at the same time.
Exactly. And you said something that was real. Off camera, you said, you know, diving into doing your own business, it comes with a lot of ducking and moving around and zigzagging.
It does.
And because that's what she's been. And this Miss Debra Williams is a vet in this. I mean,
she veteran zigzagger.
Veteran zigzagger. She's very, very humble, but you can, you know, you've done it. And and you're getting ready to go into the next stage of it now. I think we talked about this on
the
camera.
License
that
stage,
it's time. I mean, it's woman empowerment. You know, women are standing up.
That's right.
They're really doing their thing, and it's amazing. And that's why I was just like, her game too. You definitely was ahead of your time, because I could see her game too. Really doing amazing now. I mean, and it was doing amazing then, but you explained. I mean, it was just the timing, and then all the money you said you were dumping in, and then I remember you were telling me something about Adidas and all those big different. It's a lot that comes with.
Right.
And I know a lot of people that's doing apparel now. They like they tend to stay without the overhead, and they just do a lot of stuff online and try to create that. Call that movement or whatever that I can't find the words.
It's like
guys.
They're doing more like direct to the customer.
Yeah.
Or they're licensing, like a lot of the big like Gabrielle Union and Tracy Reed, Tracy Ellis Ross has a new line out for JCPenney's. Those are licensing deals. They're smart enough to take their celebrity, take their brand that they've created, and partner with the manufacturer and license it. That's exactly what I'm talking about doing right
yes.
now.
Yes.
So nobody, I mean, it costs millions of dollars to launch a brand. So they're smart not to put millions of dollars into launching a brand, because it still may or may not actually happen. Mm-hmm. So I think this younger generation is getting wiser in the ways of the world and how to really leverage their celebrity, how to leverage their social media following, and getting these clothing deals. Cookie Johnson has one. There's a number of celebrities that have their... that have licensing deals right now. Very few. The Sean Johns, the Russell Simmons, all of those are licensing organizations. Those aren't, they're not over in the factory sewing little pairs of jeans. No, they've licensed, they've partnered with the company, they've licensed the name that they've built, and they're making royalty monies from those licensing deals. Correct.
So you know what? I just thought of something too. Have you ever thought about maybe getting a girl basketball player to kind of, you know, where your youth, I mean, her game too.
Definitely.
And then get that, you know, that, get it, you know, just to bring it back out, like using her celebrity, or, because I know my kids always watch a lot of the women basketball, and they're like, Ma, these girls are amazing.
They're good.
Yeah.
I've actually had, like, Teresa Witherspoon and a number of the girls when I was doing the licensing, licensed apparel who wore, but you have to... If you're going to product place, it really has to be somebody that's a trendsetter. So if they're not a trendsetter, it's typical.
It's difficult. Oh, they're not a trendsetter.
They have to be
a
trendsetter.
See, you know your stuff, girl. See, I didn't even, So what is that? Now that's an hour, right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2.
So yeah, you know your stuff. That's key. Yeah. You have to be a
trendsetter.
Because
exactly.
If not...
it's not going to drive the sales. At the end of the day, it has to drive sales.
Wow. So they got to have at least 1 million followers.
They
got to
have some followers.
They got to have...
They've got to have some influence as a fashion trendsetter. Mm. Otherwise, it's still going to be... Yeah,
just
going
you
anywhere.
Dumping in a whole bunch of money.
Exactly.
See, and I'm learning, because, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking and I'm learning, because I wanted to do, I mean, before I wanted to do something, but I was just like, you know what, just sit your butt down, girl, and just do what you know, because I didn't know how. So this is real technical, but it can be done.
It can be done.
And that's what she's trying to let you guys know.
It can be done.
And maybe you guys have already started and... you know, you're listening in and you were discouraged, and I'm hoping that you got, you know, a lot out of what Debra Williams said, because, I mean, she's doing this all day, every day. this, you know, I know you told me you have some things coming up in the summertime or in the spring, a lot of shows. So
We have several shows coming up.
So is there any way, any way people can find you and follow you, you know, on your journey?
They can follow me on Instagram on Her Game 2, which is H-E-R-G-A-M-E with the number 2. They can follow us on Facebook, same, Her Game 2. They can follow us on Twitter, which is Deborah Her Game 2. Or they can, yeah, those are the main ways.
Those are the main ways. Yeah, because I'm sure that a lot of people that's listening in are going to want to see your progress and see what you're doing. And this is just the beginning of Deborah's new chapter. Because she's done already the old-fashioned or how they were doing it before. Right. And now she's
got to adjust.
Yeah, she's adjusting.
The new landscape.
Yep, she's seasoning up that soup, like she said, and she's switching it up. And she's about to make a power soup. Yeah, right, exactly. It's about to be real meaty in a minute. And y'all going to be like, oh, remember Deborah Williams? She did. She told me she was going to do this and that. And because that's just how it happens.
And then bow, bow, bow.
Yeah, exactly. And it's real good now. Oh my gosh, I feel like this was a real good interview, though. I feel like it was really informative, definitely for me, because, I mean, this is an area that I have no, I really don't know about, and that's what I feel like Freedom of Truth is about. It's about bringing different elements into it, into the pot of soup, and because a lot of women, they come on here. I have a girlfriend that she's an ex-wife of Irv Gotti from Murder, Inc., and she was trying to find her niche, like you said, and I mean, she tried everything, and one day she just said, what do I like? And a lot of times what I learned is, though, your niche is right in your face.
Yeah, something that you love. That I mean, the best bet is to do something that you love.
That you love.
Yeah, and then it's not work. It's just something that you love to do every day, and then you turn it into something that's profitable.
See, and that's key. Something that you love.
I mean, you want to want to get up in the morning. You want a reason to get up in the morning. Like I asked Xavier, like, how do you feel about this production thing? And he said, I absolutely love it. That's something that drives you. That's something that makes you want to get up in the morning, and you want that. You don't want to get dragging out of the bed to go do a business. That's just like work.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just like work. What do you love? What do you have a passion for? Now, how do I take that thing that I'm passionate for and turn that into something that generates revenue for me? Because otherwise, you just, you know, you want to pop up in the morning.
Yeah.
You want to jump up in the morning. You want it to be just that passionate. And so you got to do a little bit of soul searching to get to that. Yeah.
Yes, that's. You see what she said? Soul searching, because that's why I'm here right now. I did some soul searching, and I'm in the beginning of the journey, but it feels good. I felt good about coming here today. And like you said, because Deborah behind, you know, the scenes were giving me some tips about, you know, finding out your landscape. Who are you in competition with without being in competition? But, you know, what's out there? You know, make your podcast. Do you want your podcast to be successful or is just a hobby?
A hobby, exactly.
And that was real because at the end of the day, no, this isn't a hobby, but it could easily become one if I don't do my research.
Exactly.
So that was really, you don't even understand. That really was some jewels that you dropped on me. And if you don't mind, I'll probably bite your jewels. And I'm going to sell your jewels to some other women. So thank you. Because that's a real good... And that's what I love about Freedom of Truth. Because I want people that can inspire me, that I could learn from. Because I feel at the end of the day, we never stop learning.
Right.
And I'm not ever too good to not learn from someone else. Because I know that we're going to be learning till the day that God calls us home.
Absolutely.
So, and keep growing. I don't want to be staggered because I don't want to take anybody else's advice or try to learn from someone else because I think I know it all. And I think a lot of people have a lot of misconception of, like, women as doing our thing. They think that, then that's their own insecurities because they think, oh, they've done it, so they probably don't want to hear any other. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just the things that I've hear or come across is just insane. So I'm happy that I'm able to sit with a sister that has really been through some things and made it through and started her own stuff and it's just and it continues to go. She hasn't given up. She's reinventing herself and I'm just I can't wait to see where it's gonna go. And one of my prayers when I was thinking about it was that next year sometime We can revisit her game too.
Okay.
And you could revisit Freedom of Truth, and yes, we could sit here and say, girl, let me tell you what I have done. Yes. Yep. And we have, you know, we did it. We have accomplished.
Kept it going.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We kept it going, mm-hmm, and we had some challenges, and we could sit here and talk, mm-hmm, about it. And that's what it's about, guys. Mm-hmm. It's about sharing each other's journeys and testimonies, mm-hmm, and learning from each other,
exactly,
to better ourselves.
Absolutely.
In our journey in life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah, though. Right?
1,000%.
Yeah, that's what, mm-hmm, it's about. And you know what? It's so funny when you said people don't know you. Too bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I say to myself, I'm so sorry that people misjudge me, mm-hmm, just because of what I have, because, mm-hmm, I'm a woman of substance, mm-hmm, that would clearly just sit. If someone, people come to me all the time and they in Target and I always stop in, mm-hmm, in my tracks and just, you know, mm-hmm, conversate with them. And, you know, if, mm-hmm, people, you know, it's just sad to me that, you know. So I'm hoping, guys, as you're listening, I'm just kind of like having a moment. But I kind of ramble sometimes. But no, it's true. It's just like I'm hoping that this platform, and I'm definitely going to do my research that way, that I can make it really successful. Mm-hmm. And because I want to reach the masses and hopefully change some people's, mm-hmm, perspectives, mm-hmm, on women that's, you know, women with things, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to find the right, mm-hmm, language, but like women that's actually, well, you were married to a basketball player, mm-hmm, and you know, wind up being a coach, and, mm-hmm, I was married to a big rapper and movie star, but at the end of the day, I'm just a human being.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That, you know, that just, you know, was just blessed to just be, you know, just come across these kind of things, mm-hmm, but these are not things that I thought was ever even gonna happen. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was gonna be able to have nice cars and houses, but at the end of the day, we're still just human beings that bleed the same, that hurt the same, mm-hmm, and you know, I'm just hoping to change that, mm-hmm, you know. I hope.
Well, I think you are well on your way.
Yeah, well, thank you. That means, okay, a lot coming from you,
and
because
I think you're well on your way.
And
I think people
that
underestimate the power of the truth.
Yes.
And I think that what you are looking to offer here, to really break down people's truth, mm-hmm, I think is an important thing for you to do. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I think that you have something that's of value, mm-hmm, here. And I just encourage you to keep it going.
Thank you. And that means a lot. Do you mind if I give you a hug?
No.
Because that means a lot.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm, because I got to, y'all got out of the way, y'all had to pull it back a little now.
Adjust everything.
That's my wig. But it's like, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, us helping each other, no matter, mm-hmm, what race we are, no matter what color we are. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we're just human beings, mm-hmm, and we're all trying to, you know, one thing I always say, even to my kids, we are here for a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
Our days are our count. Every day we wake up is a closer day to, you know, mm-hmm, to the end. Unfortunately, mm-hmm, not to look at it like that. I may have 30 more years, whatever. But so I feel like we shouldn't let any day go wasted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if we fail, even if we, you know, don't, you know, it doesn't work out for us, at least we tried.
Right.
In this time that we have.
That's right.
In life.
That's right.
So if I look goofy at the end of the day, I'm someone who, you know, I dropped out of the 11th grade, and you know, a lot of women that's done that and doesn't have the education that, mm-hmm, you know, that you have, mm-hmm, they're insecure, they're, mm-hmm, intimidated. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that was me at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, you know what, at the end of the day, we all speak the same language. I may, mm-hmm, not use the sophisticated words that would explain better what I'm trying to explain, mm-hmm, but I'll just start with that little toe,
mm-hmm,
and I'll say what I do know.
The message is the message.
Exactly, mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that, mm-hmm, that's inspiring. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Guys, like, you're not stupid. It's, mm-hmm, just, you know, because, mm-hmm, I was told that, you know, it's a whole, mm-hmm, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, but I'm just happy that I was able to break that barrier,
mm-hmm,
and I'm happy and I'm grateful that I'm sitting here with you on this couch, and we talk about some good things,
that's,
and we,
right,
trying to inspire some people.
That's right.
And guys, that is how we are going to close before we go to that 10-second break. So again, guys, I hope that, well, thank you again for, you know, supporting Freedom of Truth. And you can find me at Tashira Simmons. I'm sorry, guys. So you can find me at Tashira Simmons on Instagram, Tashira Simmons on Facebook, and Tashira Simmons on Twitter. And also Freedom of Truth Podcast on Instagram and Freedom of Truth Podcast on Twitter. to just keep up on what we're doing. And I have some inspirational quotes and stuff that I say every day. And for Deborah Williams, it's Her Game 2.
With the number 2.
Number 2. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook,
mm-hmm.
And then Twitter.
And Deborah Her Game 2.
Deborah.
On Twitter.
Yep, Her Game 2 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I think we could close because, I mean, yes.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yes, we did. So, here's to another amazing interview of Freedom of Truth. And, this is the cameraman's acting crazy. Until next time, guys.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me. It's been an honor. I look forward to seeing it. I look forward to seeing just how far you can fly, and I'm sure that you will.
Yes, thank you. And that means a lot. I appreciate it, Deborah. She gives me like a real big sis feel, guys, because I never had a big sis. So I'm just, this is why I love what I do. But again, it's a next week, guys. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.